Welcome to the Weight Loss for Healthcare Providers podcast with Delaine MD, the podcast for healthcare professionals struggling to lose weight. If you are a physician, nurse, or other clinician looking to permanently shed those pounds, gain control, stop emotional eating, and live a fuller, more authentic, and happier life, Dr. Delaine Vaughn offers sustainable strategies and the support you need to overcome the challenges that undermine permanent weight loss. Hey guys, welcome back to the Delaine MD podcast. For those of you who don't know, my name's Delaine Vaughn. I'm a life and weight coach. I offer services for nurses who want to lose 20 to 40 pounds. Today, I'm going to talk to you guys briefly about what you got to do to lose weight, what needs to be done. I've narrowed it down to kind of 5 steps. Certainly, these are the things that we work on in life coaching and weight coaching, but I kind of wanted to talk with you guys in the podcast about it. So let's get to it. The first thing that you have to be willing to do to lose weight is look at everything that you're doing with a critical mind, a critiquing mind. I know you guys have heard me talk about journaling your food and then utilizing that as data, and that is very important, but that's not necessarily what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about looking at the things that you're doing that you think may be helping you lose weight and being able to critique them, or looking at kind of what you're doing throughout the week. You know, I really struggle when I go out for wine with the girls, or for me, my personal example, I really struggle with Taco Tuesdays with my family. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the chips. I don't know what it is, but I struggle at Taco Tuesdays. And I have to be able to look at that and critique those evenings with my family. Is it because I'm frustrated with sitting down with the whole family? Is it because I'm frustrated with the day at work? Is it because that I really lose control at chips? Is it because I feel I have thoughts that I'm being deprived of corn chips? Whatever it might be, I have to be able to look at that event with a critiquing mind. That's what I see in clients who lose weight and keep it off permanently. That is one of the things that I see that they do repeatedly. The second thing that you have to really be willing to do to lose weight permanently is be willing to walk away from the things that aren't working. So to be able to jump ship and evacuate when you see that something's not working. So sometimes this is scary for us, right? We see it as hard. We've put a lot of time and effort, or maybe even money, and we'll come back to the money thing. But we've put a lot of effort into this, and even though we've given our honest best, right, we can look at it and honestly say, I've given everything that I can to this, and it's not working for us. To be able to jump ship in that scenario can feel really scary. Lots of times we want to beat ourselves up about it, especially if we've like invested money into this, right? But what I want to offer to you is a different thought on that. It's not something horrible, right? We don't have to look at it as, this is bad, it's not worked. I think the thought that we a lot of times get stuck in is nothing's ever going to work for us. And that's why we don't want to jump ship, right? We got maybe some results, or we don't know what else to do. And we're like, no, this has got to work. I don't know what else is going to work. But what I want to offer to you is you're leaving something that isn't working so you can go out and look for something that will work, right? It's walking away from something that's not working so you have time to go and look for something that will work. And that feels so much better, doesn't it? But you have to be willing to do that. If you're not willing to walk away from those things that aren't working, you're going to be stuck in the things that don't work forever. The third thing that I see in clients that lose weight and can keep it off is the willingness to question everything. This is a huge thing in clients who are successful with their weight loss. They really have to be willing to question everything. To be willing to question, do low-cal diets work? Do low-fat diets work? I've only done keto. That's all that's ever worked. Well, if it was working so great, why are we still here talking about it? You have to be willing to question that, right? What if I'm wrong? What if this isn't really how things work? What if calories really have nothing to do with weight loss? How else could it look? How else could it be? We have to be willing to make all these questions. They're scary questions, right? Because they'll kind of shake our foundation. But we do this all the time in our professional lives, right? If we were still using leeches, for goodness sakes, or bloodletting because of whatever issues arise, fevers, we would bloodlet. I don't know if that's really why they would bloodlet, but there were, you know, certainly bloodletting was a real technique and treatment that doctors used hundreds of years ago. We don't do that anymore because we were willing to say, gosh, maybe that doesn't work so well.
But even more recently, guys, when I was an ER nurse, when we got an acute coronary syndrome, acute chest pain in, we would give metoprolol. We would give beta blocker every 5 minutes. We would give nitro until the chest pain went away, or every 5 minutes until the chest pain went away. We'd give oxygen to everybody. We'd give morphine to everybody, right? It was Mona B, morphine, oxygen, nitrates, aspirin, and then the B part was the beta blocker, right? That's what we did for everybody. If we weren't willing to question that, we would have never realized that really the beta blocker should not be given in the acute coronary syndrome, right? We don't do that anymore because we realized it wasn't working. Now recognize that it worked for a lot of people, right? We saved a lot of lives doing it that way. But if we weren't willing to question, is this the best way? Is this really what works? We would still be doing that. When in the end, the beta blockers were not really what was best for those patients. You have to be willing to question those things in your weight loss efforts too. You know, because again, guys, you will find, and I've said this before in other podcasts, what you do to lose your first 10 or 15 pounds is not going to be what you're doing to lose your last 5 pounds. It's not how it works. You will get success doing one thing. It will not translate for the entire time that you need to lose weight, right? The entire time that you spend to get to your goal, what you do for the first part of it is probably not going to translate to the last parts of it. So you have to be willing to work at it differently, okay? You have to be willing to question everything. The fourth thing that I see in clients who lose weight and keep it off permanently is their willingness to get back up and go back at it no matter what. So for those of you who have children, maybe you also find that you only watch superhero movies. My husband and I, we have 7 children amongst us. We have 3 that are older, and they are almost all out of the house. And then we have 4 that are age 11 and younger. 3 of those 4 are boys. So we watch a whole lot of Marvel movies. We also spend our time watching a lot of zombie movies. What I have found in those movies is that no matter how much the odds are stacked against the hero always gets up, right? The hero always gets back up and starts fighting. So if you watch Captain Marvel, which I love that movie, you watch Captain Marvel, this female superhero, get knocked down repeatedly by Thanos, who is this super huge man. He's just like, he's this very larger than life. He's not even like man size. He's like bigger than that, right? He's like Hulk size, right? He's huge, and he knocks Captain Marvel down over and over and over again. And Captain Marvel, without thinking twice, gets up every single time and goes back at the fight. So my thought in these scenarios is, dude, this is a losing battle. Just give in and die already. You're at the losing end of this. And what I realize, guys, is that's why there aren't movies about my life, right? Is because I've always had this kind of mindset. This is where my work has been. This is part of my own work where I've had to really spend some time looking at this. I've had to really look at the reasons that I keep fighting for my goals. Is it because you want to be healthier? Is it because you want to fit in a certain size of clothing? Is it because you want to be at a certain weight? For me, is because I want to become the kind of woman who reaches my goals no matter what. That is what my anchoring goal, my anchoring reason has been that really moves me and compels me to keep getting up and going at it, even when it's hard. I want to prove to myself that I can reach that goal no matter what. So guys, I did this with medical school. I had a very rewarding career as a nurse. I loved being a nurse. To this day, I love that I was a nurse, and I tell everybody I was. There's lots of doctors that go through medical school that were nurses before that maybe got their undergraduate degree in nursing, and they may have even worked as a nurse. They're like, I don't want anybody to know that. I'm like, I love telling people that I was a nurse. I love the approach to caring for patients that I was taught, that I learned, that I mastered, that I honed in, that I practiced as a nurse. I love it. I love telling people I was a nurse before I went to medical school. And I really think it adds a robustness to my care as a medical provider. But when I went on to medical school, guys, I was the first person in my family to go on to college, right? My grandmother was the youngest of like, I think 7 or 9 kids. There was a ton of kids in her family. She was the very youngest. All of her older siblings worked so that she could finish high school. That was my grandmother. My parents, of course, both finished high school, but they didn't go on to college. I was the first one to go on to college. much less a graduate degree. My family, that just was not part of what my family valued. It just wasn't part of what they did, right? They were hard workers. They worked very hard, but they didn't go on for extended education. So for me to go on to medical school, there was certainly a part in my mind that was like, I kind of want to see if I can do this. I want to see if I can, I want to prove to myself that I could do this. So I can see where I've applied this mindset of keep getting up and coming back at it no matter what, just to prove to myself, just to become the kind of woman that reaches her goals. I can see where I've applied this in other places in my life, but there are certainly lots of places, not just in my weight loss, but also in my business, that I have really had to work to start applying this. Before I worked with a life coach, I never would have thought to apply this mindset to other aspects of my life. I'm certainly learning to do this, though, and I am becoming the person who not only reaches my goals no matter what, but I choose my goals discriminately, and then I stick to them tenaciously until I reach them. I look at this as my journey, and I realize that this is my journey and it may not ever end. Why? Because when I get to the goal, when I achieve the goal, I get to that viewpoint and I look around and I see something else I want to achieve. That's my journey, because I'm becoming that woman that always wants to make a goal that's meaningful and stick to it. And coming back to it, no matter how hard it is, even when it's hard. That's something that people who lose their weight and permanently get it off, that is their approach. They get it off no matter what, and they keep coming back to it, even when they're in maintenance. Because even in maintenance, you're going to have times that things come up and you don't handle it right. And you have some falls. You gain a few pounds back. Okay, got to get back at it. I got to do it again. You're Captain Marvel. You get back up even when you're knocked down, right? So the fifth thing that I see in people who lose weight and keep it off is that they have skin in the game. I feel like this is one of the most important components for permanent, sustainable weight loss. This is something that I've had to work at for so many reasons, not just with my weight loss, but also in my business. So I'm going to talk about money as an example of how to have skin in the game, partly because I feel like it really, across the board, people see the value in this. People can see this as an example. There are certainly other ways to have skin in the game, lots of times revolving around health concerns. So for smokers, they see somebody who comes down with lung cancer, they see that this is a possibility, and that is their skin in the game, their worry of lung cancer. Other people may see a family member have heart disease or have a heart attack, and suddenly their skin in the game is that they realize that that could be real for them and they want to get a healthier diet. Sometimes it's lowering an A1C, but I'm going to, again, look at money as the example. This was the work that I really had to do, is my thoughts on money. And it's weird how people frequently value money far more than the A1C goal or the heart disease worries or the lung cancer, right? So I'm going to use money as an example. But you have to have skin in the game. And skin in the game, when I'm talking about money, is paying money, right? It's putting money into your weight loss work. You need to be in the game, right, to make it a winning game. I hope that makes sense to you. But you need to have some risk that puts you in the game that makes the game a winning game, okay? You need to have something you can lose in order for you to show up and do the work. So a lot of times I've seen people do this with manipulation. And if you've listened to my other previous podcasts, you will know that a lot of times I see manipulation lead to rebellion. We see this all the time. If you're getting manipulated by your spouse to do something that they want you to do, you rebel against it, right? If there is a wife who is holding out sex until the husband takes out the trash, this is a frank example that most people will chuckle at, but certainly most folks know that this happens somewhere in the world, right? A wife will hold out sex until the husband takes out the trash. Well, the husband's going to rebel against that. They know that they're being manipulated and they're going to rebel against that. We see this with brothers and sisters, right? Maybe one of the siblings got assigned a chore and they manipulate their younger sibling into going and doing it. And when you're younger, you don't always put it together, right? But as you get older and you see that the only reason that your older sibling is being nice to you is so that you go and do the chore, you rebel against that. You don't want to do the chore anymore, and you rebel against them manipulating you. Manipulation almost always leads to rebellion. And I never encourage anybody to come at their weight loss goals from a place of manipulation. But you have to invest something into the effort in order for you to show up and do the work, right? You have to invest something into the goal in order for you to show up to do the work. And so this is going to seem like a shameless plug for coaching, to pay for coaching, and maybe it is. But recognize that paying for coaching is what helps you to put a value on the goal, okay? Literally, you put a dollar value on that goal. You've paid for it. I would offer that the more you want the goal, the more you should be willing to pay for it, right? So this is going to seem like a shameless plug, and maybe it is, and that's fine. But I really want you to see that you have to put a value on that goal in order for you to reach it. And that's what I'm talking about with skin in the game. I'll tell you, I've had many clients that I've worked with for free. As I started my coaching business, as I was learning and getting certified to be a coach, I had to have examples of my coaching to submit to the certification program that I was going through so that they could critique it and give me feedback. So I worked with a ton of people for free. And the majority of the time, those folks didn't have great results in their weight loss, right? I mean, some of them I worked on other issues, but some of it was weight loss. But those folks didn't get great results. I had another client that I worked with on smoking. Also, they did not get great results. And the reason they didn't get great results is it was all free, right? They didn't have any skin in the game. Lots of times they would fall off altogether. They would never follow up for further coaching, and they wouldn't reach their goals. Now, maybe they just weren't in a place where they found that coaching was helpful. I guess that's totally a possibility. But they weren't willing to keep coming at it until it was helpful for them, right? A lot of times they were looking for a quick fix, an easy button, an easy fix to get the results they wanted. And when they realized that coaching wasn't going to be that, they didn't want to do it anymore. And that's totally fine too. Whatever it was, I've only had a handful of free clients that really got fabulous results. My paying clients, on the other hand, they totally want to do the work, right? They want to get those results. Why? Because they literally placed a dollar value on those results for themselves. These folks show up and they do the work. They start doing the things. They start trying new things. They start evaluating the things that they're doing with an interest of reaching that goal that they have put a value on. So what I'm going to offer as an analogy here, guys, is an Audi. So I think that maybe an Audi is my dream car. I don't know. Maybe it's not. I would like to have one for a couple of years and drive it around and see, though, right? I've heard they're fabulous cars. I hear that they feel like no other cars in the world, and they're really sleek looking and sweet. And yeah, I'd like to have an Audi someday. But what I'm going to offer to you is there is a dollar amount that goes into making an Audi. There is a certain amount of money that the Audi manufacturer pays to produce the Audi. I don't know what that dollar amount is, but I'm quite certain that what we pay for an Audi is far higher than what goes into making that Audi, right? And you know what? People totally pay for it, right? They pay for it and they love it. But what I want to offer is that when you pay a high amount, $50,000 to $80,000 for a car, do you treat it like you treated your high school car that you paid $3,000 for? Hell no, you don't. Why? Because you spent a ton of money. Right? On a car that you found valuable, you treat it like a $50,000 to $80,000 car. You don't have to be manipulated into treating that car as if it's a valuable car because you've already placed a value on it. So I want you to think about other places where we spend money on weight loss. I'll tell you three examples that I see a lot, and I'm sure you can think of variations on this and probably some other examples. But you'll see people buy an expensive vacation package with the idea of, I'll have 6 months, I need to lose the weight, I won't go on that vacation because I'll be so embarrassed by the pictures, I'll lose weight before that vacation, that's how I'm going to make myself lose weight. Or they'll buy an expensive dress for a charity event or a wedding, and they'll buy it in a size that's too small because then they have to lose the weight to get into the dress, and it was really expensive, and I'll have to do it. Or they pay large sums of money to a weight loss program, maybe a Jenny Craig, maybe a Nutrisystem, maybe a Weight Watchers, thinking again that I've paid all this money, I have to lose this weight. All of these approaches come from manipulation, right? They've not put any value on the actual goal. They have just manipulated themselves or tried to manipulate themselves into losing the weight, right? And a lot of times what ends up happening with this, they have this mindset of now I have to do it. But what the outcome usually is either they don't lose the weight for the vacation and they hate the pictures and then they don't enjoy the vacation and they're disappointed in themselves, or sometimes they do lose the weight, but then they gain it back when they come home, right? Or again, they don't lose the weight for the dress, right? They've got to then eat crow, go and return the dress, and then buy a dress that fits them, again, producing all this evidence for why they're so disappointed in themselves and why they can never reach these goals. Or again, sometimes they'll lose the weight, but then they put it back on, leading to the same disappointment and evidence that I just can't figure out how to get it done permanently. Maybe they lose weight with the weight loss program, but when they realize that they can't eat Nutrisystem prepackaged foods for the rest of their lives, they end up gaining it back. And again, what does this do? Produces evidence that they can't do it, and then it makes them disappointed, and it feels bad. It just doesn't feel good. So what's different about weight coaching and life coaching? All of these other ways that we see people trying to get themselves to lose weight comes from this place of manipulation, right? The reason that life coaching and weight coaching is different is because we're not coming from fear and manipulation. Those reasons never get you what you want and your goals, right? Life coaching helps you to find a way to value your goal like you value the Audi, right? Nobody has to be manipulated into taking care of the Audi, right? You value the goal. You value the Audi. We teach you how to find value in yourself. We work with you. Life coaches work with you to where you get value in yourself. You get value in all sorts of other areas of your life because let's be honest, guys, this isn't about food most of the time, right? We don't gain weight because we eat bad foods. I mean, yes, we gain weight because we eat bad foods. But the question is, why are we eating the bad foods? Most of the time, they don't really taste good. They don't serve our bodies. Why are we eating the bad foods? Let's talk about that. That's what we work on in life coaching. That's what we work on in weight coaching. We learn to value our goals in a way that we nurture them. We don't just look to check some boxes off and reach the goal. You become the goal. It's such amazing work. I cannot even tell you. You work on all sorts of other areas of your life, and you become the goal. You become the person who keeps your word to yourself that reaches the goal no matter what, right? So I used to feel horribly uncomfortable asking people for money to coach them, right? Now I see what a gift it is. What a gift it is for people to look at that goal of weight loss as the valuable thing that it truly is. You gotta have some skin in the game. You have to have high value on that goal in order for you to reach it in a meaningful way. People will want to pay for the weight loss goals, and they want to pay for it in a way that just means that they'll definitely reach the goal, and they want an easy button, they want a plan, they want a program. But here's what I'm going to offer to you guys. If it were easy, it's not valuable. It's easy to get a $3,000 car, right? You don't have a lot of skin in the game, and you have no value placed on that $3,000 car. If it's easy, it is not valuable. That is what I have to offer to you guys about the things that I see in clients and people who lose weight and do it permanently. The things that they're doing. They're critiquing what they're doing, and they're critiquing it all the time. They're willing to jump ship and evacuate when their critiquing mind shows them that the things that they're doing aren't working. They're willing to question everything, and they keep coming back to the goal over and over tenaciously. And then lastly, guys, they have skin in the game. So I want you guys to go out and see where you're doing this. See where you can apply these things, right? See where you will see if, you know, I'm really questioning everything. I keep telling myself that's what I need to do, but when I do it, I don't get my results. Question that. And then, of course, you know, I love to hear any feedback from you guys. And then lastly, if you want to get some skin in the game and you want to do it with life coaching and weight coaching, hit me up, guys. Send me a message, Delaine@DelaineMD.com. Or find me on Facebook at DelaineMD. Let's set up some time for a free mini coaching session. And you can see how coaching works. And we can talk about my program and see if that would work for you. So you guys have a great week. Thanks for listening. And I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye. You've been listening to the DelaineMD Weight Loss for Healthcare Providers podcast with Dr. Delaine Vaughn. To learn more about life and weight coaching with Dr. Delaine Vaughn, visit www.DelaineMD.com. Ho ho! Scheiße!
was my cat.